And this is 848 on WBEZ. I'm Richard Steele. The Chicago City Council is expected to pass an ordinance today that creates a new city job. That's right. One job for Inspector General of the City Council. Yes, you're correct if you think the city already has an Inspector General. So just what will the City Council IG do? Independent journalist Dave Blowitz has been following the office of IG, and he's here with us to explain more. How are you? Welcome back to 848.
It's great to be here, Richard.
Now, Dave, Joe Ferguson is the Inspector General who replaced David Hoffman in November of last year. Briefly, what experience does he bring to the job?
Well, he has been a prosecutor like Hoffman. He came from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Northern Illinois, and he spent about 15 years working on everything from employment discrimination, which I think is somewhat relevant, to money laundering, which I think also has some relevance.
Now, who exactly is he authorized to investigate, and what has he done so far?
Well, the ordinance that empowered him by the City Council pretty much allows him to investigate anybody but the City Council. And every month this year, the Inspector General's office under Ferguson has announced a major case that it's broken. For example, in January, a nonprofit executive pled guilty to the theft of city funds. In February, feds indicted what they call a sham minority contractor for fraud. And in March, a cultural affairs worker also pled guilty to the theft of city funds.
So he's been pretty busy, contrary to what I guess some people thought, you know, that he wasn't going to be anything like Hoffman, who was pretty aggressive.
Well, he's looking good on paper.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, one of the things that he did recently is in the long-running Shackman case, Ferguson weighed in on what exactly the city is doing to comply to federal hiring rules. Ferguson's January report to the federal judge Wayne Anderson, who's overseeing city hiring, requires the inspector general to make reports periodically. And in his January report, Ferguson said two things that are important. One, he said he's concerned that city's not committed to stopping illegal patronage, and he gave some examples of that. And secondly, he complained that the IG's office can't inspect the city council because of how the Inspector General's ordinance is written, and he said that's a severe obstacle to him, and he called it a gaping hole. It's a pretty stark language.
So now Mayor Daley would like to expand the IG's authority. He said that, I guess, at the end of last year when he was talking about this. He wanted to include City Council and the Alderman under the IG that can investigate the city, investigate him and city staff. What's in it for him if that was the case?
The key thing that's in it for him, Richard, I think, is he wants to get out from underneath the federal monitoring of city hiring, and the city's been under this for quite a while.
This is the regular check-in on Shackman.
Yeah, and also under the court, the city's had to change its hiring plans. It has a monitor who comes in and sits in on interviews and all that sort of thing. And Daley's looked for cues from Judge Anderson and from Anderson's hiring monitor for how to be released from that monitoring. So we got to ask, what cues is he getting? And Alderman Scott Wagasbeck, who's working on the City Council IG issue, thinks he knows one of them, and here's what he told me.
One of the things that I got out of this was that the mayor's office said, hey, we have Judge Wayne Anderson, who's retiring sometime this summer or late spring, and he wants to have all this wrapped up. He wants Alderman to be under investigation, you know, before he retires, and I think that was part of the impetus for this.
I guess the question should be, should there be two different inspector generals? What's the idea here?
Well, some of the aldermen, Richard, have said that they want a separation of powers. I guess they've been reading their constitution. But what they say is they don't want the executive branch interfering with the legislative branch. And so that begs the question, would the existing inspector general that exists under ordinance harass aldermen to retaliate against them for not being cooperative? And there's an example that, in fact, some city employee just sued in February the city for just this sort of thing. A guy named Tony Boswell, who resigned last month as head of the Office of Compliance, says he was targeted by the Inspector General's office after he interfered with the political hiring in the law department. So when you look at that, the alderman may have some basis for that fear.
Yeah, and he decided to pack it up and go back, because he was from outside of the city.
Yeah, the mayor actually brought him in 2 years ago, you know, to help reform, and he eventually resigned.
This is 848 on WBEZ. We're talking to Dave Glowitz, who's an independent journalist who covers City Hall. How would the City Council's Inspector General work differently from Joe Ferguson's office? Alderman Wagesback had something to say about that, too, in terms of how cities appoint an attorney general. So what do you think about that?
Well, the first, of course, important thing is that the legislative inspector general would investigate only the city council and its employees. But also a key difference is that the existing Board of Ethics, which is appointed by the mayor, must first approve any investigation that the inspector general tries to go into. And some aldermen, like Alderman Moore, think that's really too much, way too restrictive. But Alderman Wagesback has an idea that there are some things to like about this ordinance, and based on models elsewhere. And here's what he said about that.
Based on the fact that they took it from a model code and they've taken it from other cities, I was fairly happy with that. Like on the New Orleans one, the panel that picks the legislative inspector general is actually made up of civic members, as well as a council member and somebody from the executive. So it's kind of a mix of people. I think when you kind of bring in an outside influence to the situation, they're not as beholden to, say, the legislative branch or the executive branch as they might be in another case.
Well, not only do you think would that work in Chicago, would it be allowed, do you think?
Well, I think that the aldermen are pretty set at this point, so I think it could work. There are some things that point to it working in other cities, like Wagesback also talked to me about New Orleans, mm-hmm. San Francisco, and a couple others where he thinks it works pretty well.
Now, did city council members make reference to the model in the state legislature?
Yeah, in fact, the state legislative inspector general, a former appellate judge named Tom Homer, says that the people researching this actually called him. And Judge Homer told me about, though, an important difference in Chicago's proposed ordinance, and that is that in the proposed ordinance in Chicago, anybody who makes a complaint, if you made a complaint, you would have to sign a paper giving your name. You could not be anonymous. And here's what Judge Homer thinks about that.
My own personal view is that there's no need for that kind of restriction. Certainly in the legislative arena, which that is and which I am involved in, especially during election season, you know, we get a lot of complaints that may be highly politically motivated, but we know that. And so if a complaint comes in, we don't necessarily take it at face value without a dose of skepticism. But at the same time, if there appears to be some substance to it, why should we be precluded from looking into it?
And I think that's an important thing that Judge Homer says is a difference. But I don't judging on what Alderman Wagesback told me, I don't think they're going to change that particular aspect. So we'll see how much of an impediment that is.
No, I mean, we're talking about whistleblower retaliation there as a possibility, and that concerns anybody who wants to tell.
Yeah, and in fact, there's been some indication that city workers really fear that sort of thing.
You know something else, and I just this is something I ran across as I was looking through this information. I never knew that there was a Board of Ethics, which is kind of an interesting situation. The board, the investigation has to be approved by the Board of Ethics. The Board of Ethics, which has been in existence for 23 years, has never found any wrongdoing by an alderman.
And that's one of the things that some of the critics have pointed out, that the Board of Ethics, even before any talk of a legislative inspector general, already had the power to investigate malfeasance in the city council, and the evidence suggests that they might not do so much of that going forward.
Now, there are only four aldermen who voted no on the procedural vote yesterday, so what do you expect to happen in today's full vote?
Well, the proposal went out of committee yesterday, a pretty high majority, though, even 22-4, though. Today, the full council vote is expected to do well. Alderman Burke, who is the vice chair of the Rules Committee that helped craft the ordinance, said he felt that it was enough of a compromise to address Alderman's fear of a witch hunt by the mayor that he thinks he's got the votes.
Pretty much a done deal, do you think?
I'd bet a quarter.
Thank you so much. Dave Glowitz, an independent journalist who covers City Hall. Dave, thank you so much for being with us on 848.
You're welcome.